Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Roll Podcast. I'm Rich Roll. I'm your host. This is a bonus episode. We're back with another Ask Me Anything with my lovely wife, Julie Pyatt, a.k.a. Srimati. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, sweetie?
Good. It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
It feels like it's been a very long time. How many? I know. Like 2 months or more?
Oh, longer than that. Yeah. Way longer than that. So wow. We're well overdue.
Have you missed me?
I've missed you. Again, the trope in all of this is that the only way that Julie and I can get into a place where we can have an intimate conversation is to do a podcast. That's what we're doing today.
That's right. So, highly recommended.
Yeah, for marital therapy, for relationship
healthy relationships, start a podcast.
Yeah, it'll either bring you
you'll
together
go deep.
Or it'll blow you apart,
no.
You know?
We're brought to you today by On. I am a total gearhead. I love researching the latest technology for the sports I enjoy. And I've learned that people often overlook apparel. But what you wear isn't just clothes. It is, without a doubt, technology. Technology that can make or break a performance. And I can tell you, after spending 2 full days meeting with the apparel wizards at On Labs in Zurich, that On is innovating in this space like no other with next-gen premium fabrics, and just this heightened level of sophistication and precision and testing and development and intentionality previously unheard of that puts them just miles beyond the competition. I've been rocking On's high-performance running apparel, including the long tees, the weather jackets, even the climate jacket, all super lightweight, tailor-fit, built to move, and just gorgeous to get you out and get it done in fleet foot comfort, no matter the weather. I'm super proud to be a brand partner with this impressive team. From increasing product sustainability to improved energy return and impact protection, truly Swiss innovation at its finest. To get you moving, On is offering an exclusive 10% discount. To redeem, head over to on.com/richroll and use code RICHROLL10 at checkout. We're brought to you today by recovery.com. I've been in recovery for a long time. It's not hyperbolic to say that I owe everything good in my life to sobriety. And it all began with treatment, an experience that I had that quite literally saved my life. And in the many years since, I've in turn helped many suffering addicts and their loved ones find treatment. And with that, I know all too well just how confusing and how overwhelming and how challenging it can be to find the right place and the right level of care, especially because, unfortunately, not all treatment resources adhere to ethical practices. It's a real problem, a problem I'm now happy and proud to share has been solved by the people at recovery.com, who created an online support portal designed to guide, to support, and empower you to find the ideal level of care tailored to your personal needs. They've partnered with the best global behavioral health providers to cover the full spectrum of behavioral health disorders, including substance use disorders, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, gambling addictions, and more. Navigating their site is simple. Search by insurance coverage, location, treatment type, you name it. Plus, you can read reviews from former patients to help you decide. Whether you're a busy exec, a parent of a struggling teen, or battling addiction yourself, I feel you. I empathize with you. I really do. And they have treatment options for you. Life in recovery is wonderful, and recovery.com is your partner in starting that journey. When you or a loved one need help, go to recovery.com and take the first step towards recovery. To find the best treatment option for you or a loved one, again, go to recovery.com. What is the meaning of life? What happens when we die? What is our purpose here? If, like me, you ponder these delicious existential questions, I have got just the thing for you. It's called Soul Boom. It's a podcast hosted by everyone's favorite best friend and my friend, the deep-thinking and deeply hilarious Rainn Wilson, where he communes with intellectuals and entertainers, theologians and philosophers in intimate exchanges that tickle the mind, heart, and yes, the soul. Subscribe to Soul Boom on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts and explore other groundbreaking series at voicingchange.media.
So, so many things to talk about today, and let's just get right into it. I mean, okay. The primary sort of thing that I want to unpack initially is just our trip, right? We just got back mm-hmm. from this incredible experience in Italy, traveling through Europe. I want to recap that a little bit and use that as a foundational platform to talk about a number of subjects. So we just hosted our first retreat.
I know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you as well.
Yeah, we took 33 campers, mm-hmm. retreat
willing
attendees,
campers.
Willing campers mm-hmm. who came from all over the world. We converged on this beautiful villa nestled into the hills of the Chianti region, about halfway between Florence and Siena, for a week of transformation. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? It was pretty intense, right?
It was completely deep, actually. I mean, we had asked everybody to write in kind of their story and tell us a little bit about why they had chose to come on the retreat. And so we were reading some of the kind of bios and letters on the plane on the way over. And, you know, I had prepared sort of, you know, my part of the retreat and had an idea of how it was going to go. And before we arrived, you know, I really just realized that I had to let it all go and just see what they wanted. So I was prepared to just speak about vegetables, but they came completely raw and bare and vulnerable and really ready to go deep. And I would say we went deeper than any of us ever imagined we would go.
We went super deep. And again, people came from all over the world. We had a couple that came from Australia, a bunch of people from London, some people from California,
South Africa,
South Africa, Spain,
Ireland,
Ireland. Yeah. All kinds of people.
Canada.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Did you say Canada?
No, I didn't say Canada. And like Julie said, we requested that everybody kind of write a letter. What are your expectations for the trip? What do you want to get out of it? Tell us a little bit about yourself. And I thought they would just say, well, this is my job. And, you know, it would be very surface level stuff, but people ended up writing these incredibly,
thoughtful,
private, revealing, very vulnerable letters mm-hmm. about what drew them to not just mm-hmm. us, but the opportunity that this retreat, that this, you know, program might be able to, you know, do for them. And it was incredibly touching, right? And so when we arrived, we were like, I felt like a sense of not pressure, but like expectation, you know, like all these people are here. Like, how are we going to be able to be of service to these people over the course of 7 days? And it was incredible, right? We were on point from like 6:30 in the morning all the way till 11 at night. There was not a lot of free time. Mm-mm. We had a ton of fun. It was amazing, but incredibly productive in terms of really just getting really intense and intimate with people to try to help them navigate whatever sort of scenario they were finding themselves in. And what you realize is that everybody has their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. When you meet them on the surface, hey, you know, maybe their life looks great on the outside, but everybody has something that they're struggling with. Everybody has that thing that maybe they don't even feel comfortable telling their friends or their partner about. And I think that was the sweet spot where we were able to really be of service to people.
It was amazing. And it was also like the fact that they were so courageous and so willing and they came so open and raw and vulnerable allowed this amazing, magical healing and connection to happen. And it was beautiful. And yeah, every single person has their thing. They have their journey. They have their story. And, you know, we're all on this planet, you know, together. And it was an incredible experience, far surpassed my wildest imaginations. And we did have one person actually who was completely happy from Germany. I need to like just say that. So she just came, but she was very kind of quiet and she had a great time. And I think it was a wonderful bonding for her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a way of forging community around ideas and lifestyle and principles. And when we were all done, when it was all said and done, I think we had 7 people volunteer to sort of take control of continuing to cultivate the community beyond the 7 days.
Yeah, well, we were, so at the end of the 7 days, it was really interesting because by day 2, we all felt like we had been there 7 days. That's how much kind of movement and how deep we went together. So, you know, coming to the end of the week, you know, I was thinking about re-entry and how do we make sure that everybody has tools to go back to their life and not, you know, blow up their marriage or blow up their family or whatever. So, mm-hmm. So we spent kind of the last day in community, and you and I were really wanting to create a kind of mobilize this troop of people, this community of people that had come with us and experienced this sort of deeper level of intimacy and friendship, to continue and continue to develop the message and offer support and a place where they could meet and they could exchange and we could all continue to interact. So I said, you know, we need to elect, you know, a few people who's interested, and, you know, immediately seven people stood up and they're rocking it. We have a private Facebook group and they're already posting, and I'm going to be doing a meditation with them this week for the solstice. And yeah, it's gonna turn into something really amazing. And I think in the subsequent trips that we do, the idea is to gather this kind of group of people and maybe build a mass of maybe 200. And then at that point, we can start to explore some other projects. I mean, right now within the group, the main mission is to hold everybody in their highest divine expression. That's just to hold that awareness for each person. Mm-hmm. But as we build it and grow it and develop it, we can expand that out into doing some, you know, kind of projects in other countries. And it's going to be really fun.
It was interesting trying to conceptualize how we wanted to approach this 7 days. Because I think what you find in this space are very segmented experiences. Like, people want to learn about plant-based cooking, so they go on a retreat and it's all about the food. Or it's a triathlon training camp, you know, and then you're just working out the whole time, like I participated in those. Or it's, you know, a meditation retreat, a silent meditation retreat, or a yoga retreat. Or it's an experience about, you know, trying to improve the intimacy of your relationships. And so we bit off a lot because we were trying to kind of merge all of these things and pack them into, you know, a comprehensive experience that would take somebody through, you know, 7 days where we could look at all of those things and give them all equal balance. And I think we struck a pretty good balance. I mean, we were doing meditation, we were doing yoga. I was running with people on these beautiful trails that kind of connect all the hills and the little villages around the region. We were always on the hunt for the Shingale, which are the wild boars, the pigs that live around there. A lot of people were seeing them and hearing them. I didn't have that experience. Maybe next time. But it was really fun, that part of it. So cooking demos, you know, intense relationship workshops, you know, career focused seminars and discussions, and, you know, all kinds of things. And my worry going into it was that we weren't going to give any of those particular subjects enough significance or enough time or bandwidth in order to really make any progress. But I feel like we were able to really hit a sweet spot with each of those. And I think anchoring it in the yoga and the meditation allowed people to kind of open up and connect with everybody more intimately. Like, when you do yoga every day together as a group, it kind of sheds your facade, your mask comes off, you become more open and more willing to engage in the discussions that were transpiring and taking place throughout the week in the workshop sessions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yoga and the spiritual foundation is everything of the entire group. And I spent 2 months before we left developing the specific series, which I'm going to be releasing a video soon. It's called Jai Yoga. And so it was a really beautiful to see everybody step into that. And the practice has an original music composed by Schumann Laha, which is, he's my sitar teacher, and he's a very, very, very accomplished classical musician. And he composed this whole piece specifically for the practice. And it's a very, very deep practice. It actually brings you very much into the present moment. And it was interesting to see it, because we went in and we had, you know, yogis of all different levels. You know, some people had never even practiced before. And then we had others who had more advanced skills. So it was really cool, though, to see, you know, I tried to design a practice that was strong, but that was something you could sustain over a daily period. Like you could do it every day and still be all right. So anyway, it was a huge success and it came, you know, came out great.
Right. And I really feel like this was a coming out party for you in mm-hmm. many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I obviously, you know, the initial draw are people that have followed this, you know, my podcast or read my books and, you know, have the Plant Power Way and are familiar with your cooking, but maybe a little less familiar with, you know, some of the other skill sets that you possess. And this was an opportunity for you to really shine. Like you were really of service to these people in a profound way that I think they didn't expect, mm-hmm. In a beautiful way. And it was really fantastic to be able to stand by you and watch you really flourish in that environment. So much so that I felt like I had to up my game for next time. You know, I got to get my shit together so that I can bring it, you know, in a more substantive way when we go back.
I don't know. I thought you were beautiful. I thought, first of all, thank you for that acknowledgement. I appreciate that a lot. I have to say that this experience was probably the first time in my life that I felt fully seen and fully able to be myself, because I was expressing myself in all the things that I do. And underlying all of that is a deep desire and a deep compassion and love to help people and heal people and to be, you know, open and non-judgmental, you know, in the face of whatever they're going through. And to be able to create this yoga flow practice, which has really been the foundation of everything in my life. I mean, everything that allowed me to support you through your journey came through this yoga, through asana, through meditation, through all of that. And I haven't really been expressing myself in that way because it was, you know, the cooking was up and that seemed to be what people were more open to. But as I started to prepare this program, it really hit me profoundly just how that is a core foundational part of who I am. And without it, none of the other things would exist. So that was, you know, one piece. Then the other piece was, is I developed 60 new recipes for the menu. So it was all Plant Power Way Italia. I am so excited about these recipes and about this new book product. We're not quite sure if it's going to be an ebook or it's going to be a published book, but it was really, really, really fun creating these recipes. Italian food is lovely. And that was quite a fun adventure to create all the food. And then to be able to sing and play at night. So I was mm-hmm. singing and performing with the boys at night. And Harry had completely redone the tracks in kind of a new way. And Tyler and Trapper and I were able to sing together. And that was really, really meaningful. And then above all, to see, you know, we had an Ayurvedic practitioner, Jennifer Ayers, there with us, and she was extraordinary. We also had our tea master and Chinese medicine physician, Colin Hudon, there as well.
And he's also the owner and founder of Living Tea,
right.
livingtea.net. He makes and imports some of the finest teas in the world. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, Tim Ferriss posted on Instagram a picture of
Living Tea.
His Living Tea, his new favorite tea is Living Tea. And I immediately texted Colin. Nice. I was like, oh, Tim gave you a shout out. So Colin was with us on the trip. He was incredible. Him and Jennifer gave a presentation one afternoon that was mind-blowing. And he did tea ceremony every morning. So you could either go running with me or you could do tea ceremony with him. And people were really impacted by that.
Yeah, they were both amazing to have on the trip. So they got to sign up for a session between either one of these physicians, either one of these health practitioners, to sort of have their own private session. And what I was able to see through the week is that people were needing some deeper kind of spiritual healing that I do, which is more of an etheric kind of clearing of different energies of lifetime alignment, certain things like that.
And go way down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but it was really meaningful. I mean, it's like there was like I ended up doing probably 7 sessions, and even in the final meeting, a couple people hadn't gotten what they needed, and I was able to do a quick session. So to be able to be of that service and actually help somebody shift, because sometimes we have issues that are running in our lives, and it's not even from this lifetime, or it's from another energy, and we can really benefit from these alternate types of healing modalities that clear energies, you know, that aren't seen, and deal with things sort of in another level. And it was amazing to me how sensitive we all are as human beings. really these awarenesses and these experiences are really not foreign to us because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so if you just go below the surface, you know, immediately people were seeing colors, they were having visions, they were having experiences, they were having dream experiences. So it was quite readily available. I didn't have to push very hard. All I had to do was hold the space for them, which is really all it is anyway. So it was a really super meaningful, a very, very meaningful and valuable use of time. This was not a luxury vacation of just, it was actually a luxury vacation. It was amazing. The place is amazing. But what I mean to say is that this is a gift of experience. It's so much more than just going to a place like a hotel and staying there and enjoying the place. Because we really, really, really did connect at a very deep level and work on a lot of issues and a lot of traumas and a lot of things that people are just navigating in their life. And unless they had come so openly, we couldn't have done what we did. Mm-hmm. So it's really the group, and so significant that this group of people were the first people that came. So we have plans to do this 4 times a year. So we're going to be we've already announced the next trip, which is in October. It's in the same location in Italy. And we're already over half sold out, I think, for that event as well. But we're going to continue to add locations and stuff, but this is what's happening on these trips. This isn't just, you know, go hang out and, you know, have some juices with Rich and Julie around the pool.
Yeah, it's so funny because everybody came with their own expectation of what it was going to be. And of course, they're projecting upon us because of what they know from the podcast or the books about what we're going to be like and what the experience is going to be like. And I think that's correct. A lot of people were like, well, we're going to go running, we're going to hang out, we're going to eat great food. And anything beyond that, like, you know, who knows? Or I don't think there was huge expectations of anything beyond that. And at the end of the 7 days, I really do feel like everybody left different. And I think the shift isn't a temporary Band-Aid. I think people were profoundly impacted, and I think they're going to carry that into their life. And one of the funny things that you said was, when you look at kind of mainstream, the mainstream culture of sort of self-help experiences, you know, whether it's Tony Robbins or any number of these people that conduct these, you know, weekend or week-long events, the typical format for these is you rent a big ballroom in a hotel. Everybody stays in the hotel. It's at like the Anaheim Hilton or something like right. that. And you're in a conference room and there's a big stage and there's a lot of lights and there's a lot of loud music and there's a lot of, you know, sort of, artificial excitement that's
it's like theatrics
crafted. Yeah, like
dramatic,
like clap and like right. everybody, are you ready, stand up, you know, and shout, you know, and do all this kind of, like, they cultivate this environment that gets you excited, right? And then you hear these speeches and you are inspired by these things. I'm not you know,
I love Tony
casting
Robbins.
Aspersions on any of this stuff. I mean, Tony Robbins is amazing, right? But a lot of that, you know, one of the themes that I'm constantly kind of thinking about and talking about is how do you translate that inspiration into action? And inspiration, in certain ways, it's easy to inspire people. Like, you can put an Instagram post out, or you can get people up and down and jumping up and down and excited. But how is that going to impact them long term? Like, how are you going to get that to stick and stay and translate, right? And so the problem with a lot of those other events is that inspiration wanes, right? People go back into the world and they kind of forget about it, or they don't put it into action. And you were saying like we were the opposite of that experience. Like, we weren't doing any of that. Like, it wasn't about getting up and jumping up and down and getting people excited. It was going inside. Like, how can we quiet down and really get deep and get into that really special place that people are afraid to go, and create an environment that's safe for people to do that?
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, it really was. It's kind of like we did the exact opposite. We kind of, because the Jai Yoga practice, it's Schumann's track, is it's very, very deep and slow. And probably the most challenge that most people would have is how slow the practice is going, because you're never throwing your leg just, you know, up in the air or making any quick movements. It's much like a Tai Chi. It's much like a conscious meditation. So every time you make a move, you're aware of it and you're connected to your breath. And it's against this beautiful track that we don't even know what that track is doing, like what that music is doing, because sound heals like more powerfully than any other frequency. And this is truly, truly like a divine, you know, transmission that's taking you into the inner chambers of yourself. So that in and of itself was really, really amazing. But I have a perspective on actually Tony Robbins, and I think I do have a perspective on what happens with that raw, raw energy. And this would, again, align with what I feel about all of this go, 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 like never stop, running, 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 running. All of that kind of energy, there is a burnout point, because I was a very, very loyal Tony Robbins disciple in my 20s. And I did 4 programs of his, and I firewalked. I'm a firewalker, people.
Right.
So, and I had powerful experiences with him, and he was amazing and very powerful. Like, there's some energy with him. Like, one time he hugged me and I literally felt he might just snap me in half. He's a huge man. Very, very big. But what I did find with that, because I launched my fashion company actually using those kind of principles, is that what is not addressed in that is the burnout point. So again, you're grabbing from this very high energy kind of, you know, forced state of awareness, but you're not tapping into really the deep inner fire, which is constant always. So that was my experience with that type of program, is that there's a burnout.
That's the struggle with me, you know, because I'm a big proponent of a hard work ethic. And, you know, I know how to work hard, and I've seen advances in my life by devoting myself and being committed to that sort of path, but also understanding that, you know, I have bumped into burnout. You know, I go in waves. It's like a sine curve that goes up and down. I work really hard and then I burn out for a while and then I need to regroup. And you're always reminding me, like, if you can just find a balance point, if you can generate that, that output from a place of calm and centeredness and quietude, then you're not going to you're going to flatten that curve, and your production output will be larger overall, because you're not going to have the peaks and the valleys. But as somebody who's in recovery, it's like, I love the peak, you know, I don't like the valley, but I'm always going for the peak, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is the journey for me of trying to incorporate more of that into my life, because not everybody has the energy level of a Tony Robbins or, you know, hustle 24/7, Gary Vaynerchuk kind of personality type. Mm-hmm. Most people don't, right? Mm-hmm. They can watch those people and be inspired by them and try to mimic them, but most people are going to burn out if they try to model their behavior on that, and they don't have that kind of, you know, churning constitution that those unique individuals have.
Right. And it's sort of like, it's so interesting, because Schumann was, you know, he's teaches me sitar every week, and he was playing a piece, and, you know, he described it to me that Indian music is like, let's say that somebody asked you to take 8 hours to walk from here, like, to the kitchen. Like, think about what that takes. That it's a lot easier to just get up and run to the kitchen. You just get up and run and you're there. But what if somebody told you, okay, take 8 hours from now and then walk over to the kitchen? How would that look? So again, when you're soft and when you're quiet and when you're deep, I'm not saying you don't do a lot of action or you can't express a lot in the world, but it's the way that you do it. And I would say that on the retreat with you, I thought you were absolutely beautiful and perfect in what you added and what you offered. And there is a combination between you and me that is truly divinely inspired and divinely created. It's no accident that we're together. The combination of us provides something that allows, I think, a deeper transformation, and it allows more of a bridge for people to come deeper and to come and be vulnerable and be open. And I would say that I hadn't seen you in such beautiful energy for many, many years than I did during that retreat. You were really connected, really in service, really intelligent, really just amazing. Everything that you offered was beautiful during that week. And so that was my experience. And I think that that was everybody else's experience as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, we should give a shout out to our incredible crew, because we couldn't have done it without a tremendous amount of support from many people. Mel Nahas was our producer, and she just did a bang up job, an incredible job.
Amazing woman.
We didn't have one problem, you know, and we also had, I mean, the group of people that showed up was incredible. Like, usually there's always one person who's a problem or there's some drama or something like that. There was none of that. The group was incredible. Mel handled everything. Everybody arrived perfectly. It was just seamless, pillar to post.
Yes.
And then having Colin and having Jen be able to offer their levels of expertise to the group was incredible. Having the boys there to be sort of service and perform music, I think, was a beautiful addition to it. You know, it added a family element that really allowed people to see kind of how our family functions. And I think that was impactful for a lot of people.
That was a big point, actually, that a lot of people mentioned, and a lot of people were very emotional about it. And, you know, it definitely was, you know, at the beginning, somebody said, I think David said, who lives in Florence, he said, at the beginning, I was like, oh, you know, great, their family gets a vacation. But when he came there and saw what we were doing and how they were interacting with us, it really deeply did affect a lot of people. And they, right now, our boys are actually traveling all over Europe, meeting all these people that they met on the retreat. So they're visiting different countries and staying with these new friends that they've made. But yeah, and even people said, you know, we wish you had brought the girls, because the family dynamic is something. And, you know, once again, it's like, we're just authentically living our experience and sharing our experience. And the difference between you and me and a lot of, you know, maybe other people who are more specialized, is we sort of have a very full life and we are playing in all those different areas. And so, you know, it's no surprise to me that we were able to offer support and all of that. And 7 days, I mean, I actually don't think it would have been better if it was 10. I think 7 days was perfect. I think it was the right amount of time.
On the last day, we kind of had a special session where we sat around in a big circle and everybody went around and kind of shared what they got out of the experience and how it's impacted them. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Like, every single person, even the most hardened people with the most hardened shells were emoting on a pretty deep level. And that spoke volumes to me about the impact of the trip. So it was incredible. Also, Leah, you know, who came and taught yoga as well in conjunction with you. I mean, just the whole thing was amazing. Yeah. So in any event, I don't want this to be long advertisement for our retreats, but it was a remarkable, beautiful experience. And if it sounds like something that you're interested in learning more about, perhaps attending a future event, the best way to learn about it is to go to ourplantpowerway.com. There's plenty of information there. You can email Mel, our producer, through that website. She's happy to answer any questions. And the next trip is October 1 through 8 in the same location.
I think it's 3 through 11.
Is it?
Yeah.
I keep saying 1 through 8.
No, I think it's 3 through 11.
Is it 3 through 11?
Anyway, you'll see on the site.
All right.
So it's there. And then we're trying to lock down an Australia location for the end of February. And then we'll be going back to Italy in May, the same week. And then next summer, we're going to be going to Ireland. So anyway, just keep in touch via the site. We hope you can join us one of these trips. And if not, we're going to be sharing, you know, content along the way, like the yoga video will be available probably in maybe 6 weeks or something like that. And then we'll keep you posted on the status of the Plant Power Way Italia, whether it ends up published or it ends up as an e-cookbook. We don't really know yet. But I also want to just mention that one thing that Colin was pointing out to me and that was very, you know, hit him very deeply is that there really wasn't one demographic on the trip. We had two children in their 20s bring their mothers, which was an amazing, adorable experience. We had three military people who came from all over the world, which is really incredible. And we had, you know, athletes, we had yogis, we had business people, we had, you know, just really kind of one guy who had just lost a bunch of weight, So, you know, it was just a whole sort of beautiful array of different kinds of people. And there really was no one unifying, you know, quality that drew them to the retreat.
Right. I think one theme is that people showed up thinking it was going to be a bunch of ultra runners and ultra athletes. And there was some level of intimidation about what the runs were going to be like. And I just want to say, like, that's not what this retreat is about. It's not about ultra athletes. Everybody was, you know, coming, like Julie said, all different walks of life. It's not about, you know, ultra athletic performance. It's really about unlocking, you know, your own unique, best, most authentic self. And that is a different definition for every single person. And everybody brought their own unique life experience. And we were just there to be of service to helping enhance and shine a spotlight on that.
Yeah, definitely. And so anyways, to all of the initial Jai tribe who came, crew, and everyone who attended, Rich and I love you. And thank you so much for making this first event so extraordinarily special in every way. It was just divine.
All expectations across the board.
You are listening to this podcast because you care about improving your health and your well-being. But this quest is incomplete if you have yet to add my friend Dr. Rangan Chatterjee's Feel Better, Live More podcast into your listening quiver. An RRP favorite and someone I'm personally quick to call when I'm in need of good advice. From nutrition to mindset, fitness, and relationships, each episode is packed with the tools you need to become the architect of your health. Subscribe to Feel Better, Live More, available wherever you get your podcasts, and explore other groundbreaking series at voicingchange.media. There are certain rare people who have a powerful voice and know how to use it. My friend Amanda Decadene is one such human. The podcast is called The Conversation because it is the conversation, a groundbreaking series of raw and honest exchanges on the issues that matter most: mental health, sex, politics, ambition, gender roles, and more. Listen to The Conversation wherever you get your podcasts and explore other groundbreaking series at voicingchange.media. There is so much health information out there. It can feel overwhelming and leave even the most well-intentioned confused about what's what and who to trust. Well, the first person that I call when I'm seeking clarity is my friend and nutrition expert, Simon Hill, host of the fantastic podcast, The Proof. Each week, Simon matches wits with brilliant scientists, translating their evidence-based insights into actionable tools for better well-being. Subscribe to The Proof, available wherever you get your podcasts, and explore other groundbreaking series at voicingchange.media.
And then after that, we went to Venice and spent a couple days family time there, which was amazing. And then we went to Ireland and hung out with the guys from the Happy Pair.
The Happy Pair, the happiest men in the world.
These guys. I'm putting up my podcast with them next week, so you have that to look forward to. I'd heard of these guys because I've been following them online, their YouTube channel and their Snapchat, et cetera. And I knew from a video that they did with Tim Sheaf that these are kind of the two, you know, sort of vegan people in Ireland who are making waves and doing interesting things. Twin brothers. They have a restaurant cafe called the Happy Pair. It's in Greystones, which is about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes south of Dublin, right on the coast. And they invited us out to visit them and get a look at what they're doing out there. And it blew me away. Like, I'm so impressed with these two young guys and their level of enthusiasm. I mean, their level of enthusiasm is like nothing I've ever seen. These guys are inseparable, and they are just so active in the community. Mm-hmm. They are really community oriented. They've got this whole town that they live in just ecstatic about healthy food and mm-hmm. healthy lifestyle. They're teaching courses, they're changing lives, and they have now they have something called Pairville, which is...
They created their own city.
Yeah, they've got 14,000 square foot facility where they're creating all these healthy food products, shipping them all over Ireland.
300 stores in
they're
Ireland.
Making YouTube videos like crazy. They're Snapchat machines, and they're just full of life and positivity.
Yeah, and they're making it. I mean, the thing that really blew me away is, it's as good as any of the highest developed health food stores in LA, maybe even better. I mean, they have sprouting containers. They're making kombucha. They're making kraut.
They make some of the most amazing hummuses and pestos, plant-based pestos I've ever had.
Yeah, they were shipping 90,000 bars. This month, and their bars are amazing. A lot of times bars for me, it really give me a stomach ache. I can't really process them, but these bars that they made, they're really, really, really high quality. So, and they're adorable and infectious and always happy, and they're jumping into the Irish Sea at least 3 times a day.
They're the happiest two dudes I've ever met.
Yeah, they're twins that are literally almost like the same person, and they just love each other. They're amazing.
So a lot more, you're going to hear a lot more from me about these guys. The podcast with them is going up this weekend, and we're going to try to incorporate them into our
Irish retreat
retreat in Ireland, which is going to be next summer.
Definitely.
Yeah. So cool. So I think this is a good moment to launch into an interesting, perhaps interesting discussion that we could have. A lot of, messages that I've received in the wake of, what from an outsider looking in on this experience that we just had, we got to go to Florence, and we got to go to Siena, and we went to Venice, and we went to Turin, and we went to Ireland, and people are saying, wow, it must be nice to be able to make your living traveling to these amazing locations. Like, how do you do that?
How did
you make that happen where your career is merged with something that you're passionate about and that you're in service of?
Well, I mean, starting at the very beginning, and then we can launch into the, our more personal is, it really happened because I was practicing yoga and I was going to yoga retreats. And it suddenly occurred to me one day as I was on one of these retreats that why were we coming to this, one location, which was basically like kind of a granola hippie location in Ojai, when we could go anywhere in the world? I was like, why would we only go here when we could go anywhere? And so I had this really profound experience. I told it at the retreat. I don't think I had ever told you before, but I was in Ravello. It was before I met you. And Ravello is on the Amalfi Coast, and it could be the most beautiful view you could ever see in your entire life. It's extraordinary beyond measure. And I had just discovered yoga, and I went into these ruins next to the hotel in the morning really early, and I started practicing yoga, and I closed my eyes. And suddenly I opened my eyes halfway through my practice, and there were 60 people from the village had come down to watch me practice yoga. And so I was very attached to my yoga, which you are when you first start practicing. So I just continued. I closed my eyes and continued and finished my practice. And when I opened my eyes again, they had all left except for this old Italian man who had sat down on a bench 4 feet away from me. And as I finished, he got up and he shuffled over to me and he looked in my eyes and held his hand out. And I put my hand in his, and he smiled, and he had no teeth. And I, for a minute there, I was like, what is happening here? Like, is he going to grab my boob or, do something? I don't know. And he kneeled down and kissed my hand and looked at me very, very specifically. And then he turned around and shuffled away. And it was at that moment that I thought, I'm going to bring people to Italy to practice yoga. So that is how the whole thing happened.
And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I had been invited to this villa for a friend's birthday party, and we all arrived, and it was so magical, and I thought, wow, how did this happen? Like, we got an invitation back in the U.S., and then everybody's just showing up at this villa in the middle of nowhere. So that was how it happened, and I ended up partnering with a well-known yoga teacher named Steve Ross for many years, and, we did these high-end, yoga retreats for many, many years, for almost a 10-year period, sometimes twice a year. We tried a boat, and we tried a couple other things. We did a location in Mexico also that was really great. Rich came to many of these with me after I did two, then that I met you and you started coming. But anyway, so So it was sort of born there, and it worked really well there. It actually really did change people's lives, although there really wasn't much of a spiritual program. There was a lot of laughing and a lot of yoga and a lot of shopping at the outlets, but there wasn't really any program. So when this opportunity came up again, the fact that we have a message that is touching people and your book and Finding Ultra and the Plant Power Way and all of that, I knew, you know, and also all the spiritual development that I've had over those, you know, 20 years, I knew that we had more to offer than that. So I already knew the baseline that it was going to be awesome, but then I didn't know, you know, what we were actually going to be able to contribute, which was really, really beautiful this time. So, you know, these, I guess you could say this energetic pathway was laid 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's something that there's a foundation for it. You know, there was something that was meaningful, that was useful, and we've been able to now bring it back in and incorporate it with what we're doing.
But it took 20 years,
yeah,
and, you know, to really let this thing cook, mm-hmm, and mature to a point where we were ready and the audience was ready to do it. So the sort of larger question that I'm aiming at, that I'm trying to get to, is bridging that gap between, you know, current circumstance to a more idealized circumstance, right? So, you know, in 1998, I was stuck in a career that I hated, and I could not see my way out of it. I just didn't think that there was any way that I would ever reach any kind of escape velocity out of being a lawyer. You know, mm-hmm, that's what I trained to do. Law school costs a lot of money. I wasn't going to just throw it away. I had no idea what another way would look like. How would I support myself? I didn't even know what my passion was. You know, everybody talked, oh, follow your passion. Like, what are you talking about? Like, all I knew is what I was very unhappy and very unfulfilled in my career. And through a process, I don't even know what you would call that process, but a process of introspection, a tremendous amount of soul searching, internal work, and confusion and mistakes and missteps and blindly stumbling around in the dark, we've arrived at this other place. But 15 years of doing that, mm-hmm, 16 years of doing that, of trying things that weren't working, and really the undercurrent theme, the underlying theme in all of that was trying to strip away at myself, to get at my heart, to find something that moved me. That's what Ultraman was. That's what ultra endurance sports, you know, represented for me. That's what this journey through nutrition and health and wellness and meditation and yoga has been all about. And so it took all of those years to get to a place of some level of understanding where it seemed responsible or appropriate to then be able to turn around and share it in a way that would be meaningful and not, what's the right word? Not like a surface level sort of lip service way of conveying information, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, what you mean is that when it's actually part of your authentic self, it's not a business pitch, it's not a marketing pitch, it becomes part of you. That's the authenticity.
Right.
That's why
to,
it takes
well,
so long.
Well, it has to become part of you, yeah, before it's you know, in recovery, there's a saying, you cannot share something you haven't got. Mm-hmm. You can talk about it, you can pretend like you're sharing it, but it's not going to stick or resonate with anyone because you don't actually inculcate that. You don't actually intuit that. You don't inhabit that truth. You have to get to a place where that is your truth, and then you can be a beacon that is in a place where you can share it in a way that it's going to be functional and work for other people.
Yeah. And so, you know, I thought that I was going to be doing this in my 30s. You know, I mean, that's been probably one of my biggest pains, have been having to wait for it. Like, I knew it was there and I knew that I was going to be doing all these things, but to not be able to express it or not be able to just launch it, and not, I didn't understand why it didn't work back then. And the way that I describe it is that, you know, we had good ideas back then. We did. Like, they weren't bad. It wasn't, you know, in the scheme of the world of what you could be doing, they were pretty good. But the key was is that we still had traces of personal ambition that were mired in this service. So if you're saying that you want to help people, but you really haven't become yet, you're still running personal ambition. It's an idea of a persona that you want to be. It's an idea. It's really the same energy as an actress, you know, or a performer. So,
but I would say that it would be dishonest for me to say that I've been stripped of any ambition. Like, I'm an ambitious person.
I would say that over the 9 years that we were pummeled almost into nothing, that you were stripped of much of your ambition.
Well, I was humbled, for sure.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I have a level of humility that I didn't possess then.
Well, but I still that's part of it.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is you could still have goals and ambitions.
No, but you're confusing what I'm saying.
All right,
you're confusing
so
what I'm saying. Ambition is when it's for your own personal ego justification. Real service is when you're truly of service without attachment to the outcome. Two different things. So when you're of service, you're not serving, you're clear of the personal drive of things that you want to get. And I understand that you still have some and I still have some. I understand that. But in the scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, that is the key thing that was different, because we needed to be prepared in order to share at this level, in order to imbibe, in order to have the frequency and the energy. So we did not have that. We were not mature at that point, meaning we could not hold this example at that point because we hadn't been through all the trials and all the tests and all the becoming. And so it takes a while to become in a life. You can't just become, at a certain, age because you want to be. You have to go through the alchemy and the transformation and it's really, you become alchemized.
The takeaway is a couple things. First, patience, people that are trying to expedite this process of, reaching escape velocity out of whatever situation they find themselves in to arrive in this more idealized version of themselves. It takes time. It's hard. And, the second prong of that really is that the ultimate growth hack is a long-term passionate devotion to mastery. Not that you'll achieve mastery, not that we've achieved mastery in the ultimate sense in anything that we do, but it's devotion to that mastery, mastering the self, mastering the tools that we're sharing. That takes a long time.
So I'm going to interrupt you right there. So devotion to mastery is very different than ambition. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So you just expressed
it. But the goal, because the goal is not external. It's not it's not external affirmation. It's not any kind of material gain. It's commitment to the process of being better and showing up for it on a daily basis, whatever that is in your life, that ultimately will bear the fruit that you're looking for. But the moment you take your eye off that and you start looking externally is when you're becoming distracted.
Yeah. And when you say better, what do you mean by better? Becoming better, what do you mean by that?
Well, becoming a more actualized human being.
Okay.
Becoming more in touch with...
Becoming more expanded.
Your heart. Becoming becoming more expanded in your consciousness. Improving. And this touches into everything, which is why, the event that we just hosted had to touch on so many things. Nutrition is important. It begins with what's on your plate. But that is not the be-all and end-all. I feel like if we had done a week where it was just all about plant-based nutrition and nothing else, it's a missed opportunity to talk about the really important things, because you clean up your plate so that you can get more in tune with who you are. And then it's about how do you channel that revitalization into the best direction that's going to shift your trajectory and lead you towards the life that you are meant to be living.
Yeah, and this brings me back to yoga. I have to come back to yoga, because as you're sitting here speaking to me, I'm remembering the story I just told you about how these retreats started, the story that I shared that of how yoga is the foundational core of everything beautiful in our life, I could not have held space for you. I could not have said, Rich, go train, if I did not have a yoga practice. I could not have. I met you in a yoga class. Recovery and yoga for you was the beginning of you starting to look deeper within yourself. And I can see you when you're on retreat, when you're practicing yoga every day, what a beautiful result, what a beautiful flowering that is in your personality. And so, you know, we're trying to give people takeaways for this episode of Ask Me Anything. The biggest takeaway that I would say is get your ass on a mat. Go practice yoga. Find it in whatever form. There's a million different places you can find it. Start practicing yoga. These asanas or postures carry a sacred vibration. They will clear you of all this residue. They will connect you with yourself. And as a side effect, you will become healthy and supple and flexible and more calm and all of these things. So, you know, really, yoga is a wonderful gift that we have as humans on this planet. And I can't stress enough the value of that practice as your guide and your constant through all the stages of your transformation.
Implicit in that is that the answers that you seek reside within you. That doesn't mean that you don't seek out the advice of a teacher, that you don't read books, that you don't garner inspiration from the people that are providing inspiration in your orbit, in your world, that you don't have mentors, that you don't seek the advice of people that you trust. But ultimately, you have to be your own barometer of what's right for you. And if you're struggling with which way to go, if you're indecisive, if you have paralysis in your life, in your relationships, the way to resolve that is always, and the answer is never going to change, is always inside of you. And so yoga and meditation are really the key to unlocking that and finding your own personal truth to unshackle you from that paralysis. The truth is that, again, it goes back to, you know, a long-term devotion and commitment to mastery, because it's not going to happen in one yoga class. It's going to happen when you decide to change one thing in your life, and that's everything. When you make this commitment that this is going to be the most important thing, whether it's your spiritual evolution, the expansion of your consciousness, whether you're doing it through yoga or meditation or some combination of those two things, when you make the commitment to prioritize that above everything else, above your job, above your relationship, that's when you start to step into the solution.
That's right. Beautifully said. So it's all about yoga.
It's all about yoga and meditation. And I think all of the bounty, you know, the fruits of the pain that we've suffered, the hardships that we've gone through, are a result of that commitment, you know. And you've been leading the charge. Like, I'm the sort of reluctant, you know, complaining kid that gets dragged into it and then goes, oh, why wasn't I doing this all along? And then I'll relapse and revert back to my old default ways. And then I go, oh yeah, I felt better when I was doing that. And then I go back in. You're like a constant. And this is where we are like the yin and the yang. Because you're the one who's always been, you've never wavered in that commitment. You're very, you know, your curve does not go up and down that much. It's pretty constant, mm-hmm. right? You're able to hold that space, and that's a unique, I think that might be your most profound talent, is your just consistency with this. I'm less consistent, and it's that thing where knowledge will avail you nothing. It's like, I know what's right for me. Sometimes I struggle with getting into that place of doing it consistently, but it's always drawing me back. Mm-hmm. And I think giving myself, like, not flogging myself and beating myself up for not being perfect or as consistent as you, has been a struggle that, you know, I've been constantly, you know, trying to overcome to get to a place where I can be okay with myself, but also aspire and work harder towards that level of consistent practice.
Well, I think, along with, not beating yourself up and not being judgmental, there also comes a responsibility because, at a certain level, when you've reached a certain level of maturity, it's time to stand up and take responsibility, basically. So I'm less in the energy of, it's okay to waver a bunch. It's like
I'm not saying that.
Yeah. But you you have enough experience now, and it's kind of like for all of us. And this is like a planetary thing right now. I mean, the game is getting amplified up. You're going to start to see everything get like a kind of more intense, more amplified. And spiritual practice is required of us. It's not a choice. It's not like a pastime or a hobby or a cute little idea of taking a picture of meditating. It is a necessity to be able to fulfill your mission. And I'm talking for all of us. It is a necessity to fulfill your mission. So if you don't know who you are, start practicing yoga so you can find out who you are, because we need you to be all of who you are, everything that you were created in your divine blueprint. We all need you. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you to come online so you can join us. So, now things are getting a little bit more intense. Now it's like, no, you need to make a decision and you need to devote yourself to something greater than yourself. And, one of the things in Jaya Yoga practice that I designed in there is the first thing we do is lie down in pranam, meaning lie down on the floor and offer your life over to something greater than you are. Because we're just not in kindergarten anymore. You saw the mass shootings in Orlando this week. This world is not all unicorns and rainbows. It's just not all happening. I wish it was, but it's just not. So how do we manage? How do we maintain our light? How do we maintain our mission and keep our energy, balanced and in a good place so that we don't get sick, we don't get disease? I mean, all this going up and down and the extremes, it's hard on your body. It's hard on your system. So it's affecting you physically. It's affecting you spiritually. And also it's affecting the environment because other people are receiving any imbalance that you're throwing off. And so again, it comes to us understanding that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And the spiritual practice is essential, right? Especially right now. And so thoughts are things and emotions are things, and our inner space affects people around us. So it's not just about your own, experience. It's about the greater experience. And so I'm going to be speaking up and sort of requiring and calling for and holding the space that we all up our game a little bit. I'm upping mine. So, I'm not staying in this place. I'm going to another level. So, my spiritual practice is heightened right now. I have, it is very, very in the forefront of what my life is. And I'm sharing that on my podcast, Divine Throughline, and amazingly getting the most extraordinary letters from people all over the world who are having real human life experience happen to them, I'm honored to be able to hold space for them and speak to those type of issues. But I feel like we've hit a tipping point. I feel like, it's kind of a different game now, and we're all being required to step up and, take action and make a commitment on a lot of those things that we've known for a while, are kind of in the field, but we haven't really taken responsibility to step into them.
Everybody has those things. Everybody has something that's in their blind spot or that they're sort of semi-consciously aware they need to deal with. So,
yeah. And it's your life. This is your life right now. You don't know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. So what are you waiting for?
I think that's a good place to close it down for today.
Okay. Thanks for having me
the
on.
The powerful Rich. Julie Pyatt laying
Sorry.
Down the mad crazy just, truce at
just,
the end.
Just got inspired
no,
a little
it was,
bit there.
That was fantastic. Thank you. I'm inspired. No, it's true. I mean, I guess I'm talking about it from just a place of honest, transparent experience with the struggles that I've had in terms of creating consistency. And so that's my commitment. You know, that's how, that's the blind spot that I need to look at and amplify to get to a place where that's no, I mean, this is to say that that's no longer okay. It's no longer okay for me to tell and create that story that, well, this is the way that I am. You know, I go up and down like this. Mm-hmm. That's just a story.
It's just
I have power to change that. And I've made great strides in doing that, but I still have work to do there.
Mm-hmm. And
that's the commitment that I'm making.
Beautiful. Awesome.
So that's it for today. Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for having me on.
So again, if you're interested in learning more about the retreats that we have going, ourplantpowerway.com.
World.
It's the best place. Oh, yeah.
Our Plant Power
our
World.
Plant Power, you think I'd know our own website, right?
World.com.
Ourplantpowerworld.com. Check out Julie's podcast, Divine Throughline. I just put up a new video today. A new vlog.
I didn't see it.
So check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/richroll. Trying to do more vlogs. Trying to find a system.
All right, honey, we just got back from the trip and everything.
Yeah, I know. But I'm aspiring to ramp up my video production because I really love doing it.
And you're really good at it.
Thank you so much for everybody who has been tuning in. It really means a lot to have this audience. I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. I really do appreciate it. It means everything to me. If you have not subscribed to the show, please take a moment and do that. That helps us out a lot. Leave a comment on the iTunes page. That also helps us out a lot. What else? And thank you so much to everybody who has made a habit of using the Amazon banner ad at richroll.com. You can find that banner ad on any episode page. It doesn't cost you a cent extra on any of your purchases, but Amazon pays us a little commission on that, and that really helps us keep the bandwidth flowing. So thank you, everybody, for that. And what else do we have to say?
If you want some food inspiration and yoga inspiration, follow me on Instagram at Srimati, S-R-I-M-A-T-I. Also, you can find my music on iTunes and CD Baby under Srimati as well. And this summer, I'm working on a vegan cheese book that's due to be published in 2017. So I'm excited to share some of the process of that on Instagram. And like Rich said, you can check out my podcast, Divine Throughline. I'm on iTunes. You can subscribe there.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Be back with you soon.
Thanks so much.
Peace.
Namaste.
Plants.